the subject that I have is love is God's design. To me, it is such a vast subject till I don't feel able to really explore the depths of it. But we'll do what we can for the service of God. You know, God is love. God designed love. He made the plan. It's who he is. And it's so important that he put everything into it. You see, sometimes as parents, for instance, we have things we want to teach our children. And we really, some things are so vital to us that we'll go the extra mile. We'll do all we can to get it across to our children, certain things about life or maybe ways we want them to look at life and so forth. God did that. He set the pattern. He designed it. He is love. And he put everything in it. He loves us. We are his creatures. We're his creation. And he cares about us. And he wants us to know who he is. He wants us to be able to partake and to have this love that he has in his fullness. And I think about how God planned it or how God's design works. First, God loved us. And then he wants us to love him. And he wants us to also love others. So one look at 1 John 3 and 18. I have lots of scriptures. So open your Bibles, please. And we're going to read it. Speaking of God's love, and it's so vast till we can only scratch the surface. There is a song in our songbook, I think it's 484, The Love of God.
Yes.
I want us to read that verse that says, is greater far than tongue, it could be the first one.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty path. God gave his son unto win.
His angel
we reconcile
and pardon from
his sin.
Okay, we can stop right there. Did you notice in that song it says it's greater for than tongue or pen can ever tell? That's how I feel this morning. To try to describe God's love is so beyond what I can really give justice to. But I want to do as God has led me to do today. So let's read John 3 and 18. 1 John 3 and 18.
My little children, let us not love in word
neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Okay. So you see, God's love, we're going to explore it so that we can see how to really fulfill this. God gave his love. He showed us. I started talking about the parents. The best way to teach is to by example. If I want to teach you how to drive, I need to be able to show you how to do it. Or if I want to teach you how to bake a cake, I need to be able to show you how to do that. You learn better if you see the example. Well, God didn't, he did this for us. He showed us love. He is love. He showed us the depths of love. So we have a wonderful Father. He's our teacher. He's our all in all. And he wants us. He orchestrated love. It is his design. And because he is love, he wants us to have a part in this, to be filled with his love. Let's go to Romans 5:5.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be full of his love. He wants it to shed abroad through and through in all that we do or say. The love of God should affect our relationship. It does affect our relationship with God and with other people. He wants us to be covered with his love. Like that scripture says, shed abroad in our heart. Not in one little part, but all over us. Everything we do in our living for him, our service for him, should be motivated by love. Sometimes people do things because they feel like they have to do it. But God doesn't want that kind of service. He wants us to love him so much that we do it because of our love for him. So it starts with God. God's great love. Let's look at God and his love and what he's done for us. Ephesians 2:4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
And go on to 5.
Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. God is merciful to us because he loves us. We can put up with people when we love them. We can have patience with them, right? When we love them. Love will motivate us to look over people's faults. One song says, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. That's God. You know, when I think of God's love, my heart just feels overwhelmed. How that many times we are not worthy of his love, but yet he loves us. Many times we have fallen short of what he expects, of what he wants us. But yet he doesn't kick us to the curb and give up on us. He still woos after us. Even if we fail and we go away from God, God loves us. He's trying to draw us back to us, himself, because of his great love. His love causes him to have mercy on us when we're not worthy. And let's go to 1 John 4:8. Says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, For God is love. God is love. God designed love because God is love. That's who he is. That's the quality of God, is love. You know, I think about how that man fell from God. He rebelled against God. Sin came into the world. And he did all kinds of wickedness. Over and over, as we read in the scriptures, we'll see God was angry with men over and over because of their sinful ways and their disobedience and stubbornness. And yet, he reached out to them. They would go away from him. They would serve other idols. They would do things that's displeasing to him. And yet, he reaches out with love again. That's why that song says, it's greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Can you imagine somebody, how many times can people do things to you and you still reach out to them? You still love them. But God does. He reaches out to us when we're not worthy, when we have rebelled against him, done all kinds of things. The Israelites, he even during Moses' time, and he felt he wanted to get rid of the Israelites, wanted Moses to step back. But Moses asked him to have mercy. And God did, because of his love. Had he not loved mankind, he would have destroyed it long ago. There's nothing that we can say that we deserve God. But the things that people do, even in the time we're living in, as dark and wicked and evil as people are today, yet the love of God reaches out to them. Verse 16 of the same chapter says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You see, God loves us so much. He does everything he can. And when we, it's just beyond words that we can say, because he is so good to us. But we want to look at what did God do? What did he do? He paid the ultimate price that we might be saved. We learn to understand love because of God, how God showed his love and how he gave his love. The same chapter, 1 John 4 and verse 9 says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. His only Son. He paid such a great price for us. He showed his love by giving the best he had. None of us would do that for anybody. I don't know of anybody that would give their only son for somebody else. But God did, and he gave it for men that didn't even worship him, that didn't even care about him, that worshiped other idols and wasn't obedient to him. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the 19th verse says, we love him because he first loved us. So he set the pattern. He set the example. He showed us how to love him. He showed us love. He taught us love. And we want to respect that love. We want to reverence in it. We want to receive it. We want to live for him and accept the love. Can you imagine how it feels to love somebody, maybe you give them a gift and they don't even show you they appreciate it. They just take it. And then maybe you say a kind word to them and they don't have a kind word to say back to you. This is the way mankind is being toward God, God Almighty, who loves us so much that he gave the ultimate price. He gave everything. There is nothing, no level that he could go any farther to show his love to us. Let's go to Romans 5 and 8. I think, yeah, 5 and 8. We will be without excuse in the judgment because God showed us. Sometimes you can say, I say something maybe, fix so-and-so or do this. The child might say, I didn't know how to do it, right? I didn't know what you meant. All that, those kind of excuses, I get that sometimes. But we won't have an excuse because God not only told us, but he showed us we have no excuse. Let's go to Romans 5 and 8. Somebody get that and read it.
But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
This is his love. This is how he showed his love. He sent his son to die on the cross. And sometime when I read the passion of Christ in the scriptures, I want to cry. And I think of how he suffered. And Jesus was innocent. Not only did God give his son, but his son gave his life. He could have said, I'm not doing this for these rebels, right? They're just rebellious people. I'm not giving my life. I don't want to do this. It's too painful. But he didn't. He was willing. So the Father had some love for us. And Jesus, his son, had the same love. And he was willing to give, to die for us when we were not worthy. Even I think about how that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he poured out his heart, it was hard for him. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. And the sweat came down as drops of blood. He was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what he was facing for you and for me because of the great love of God. Let's read on. And so we want to see, if we accept his love, that's what we need to do. He wants us to reciprocate it back, don't we? If you give me a flower and you say, I love you, and I just take the flower and act like it doesn't mean anything, how do you feel? Can you imagine what God feels? I've given all to these people. I've given my son. I've given everything. The most valuable possession I have, my son. I gave it for them, and they turned it back on. Some of them today says there is no God. All of this foolishness. They don't accept and appreciate God's love. But the one thing we can do, we might not can do a lot. We might not can hardly talk or walk or do anything. But we can lift up our souls of love to God. We can show him we appreciate him. If we don't live for him, we're not showing him that we appreciate it. We can give our all back to him. Let's go to Psalm 264. Let's try to sing it. 264, Psalm number 264. I ought to love my Savior.
I ought to love my Savior.
He loved me long ago. Look on my soul with favor, with deep in guilt and woe.
And though I
sin that grieves him, his Father's law had crossed. Love to him down from heaven to seek and save the lost. Love to him down from heaven to see and save the lost.
That's good enough. So I ought to love my Savior. He loved me long ago, looked on my soul with favor when deep in guilt and woe. And though my sins had grieved him, his Father's law had crossed. Love drew him down from heaven to seek and save the lost. How much love has been poured out for us. You know, today, my personal experience is that I love God. Why I do what I do is because I love God. He loved me. I appreciate his love that he's given to me. And so, the only thing I know to do is to love him back. Love him back. Just like I was saying, giving a flower and no response is not a good feeling. Don't you know God feels bad when we don't love him back? I ought to love my Savior. We can take it personal. We can say we all ought to love him, but we can take it personally too. I ought to love my Savior. He's done all for me. And so we want to love God. We want to reciprocate this great love that he has shown us, that he's given us, that he's poured out over us. All we have to do is love him back. Let's go to 1 John 4 and 10. Verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation for our sins. We want to love him back. We want to show him that we love him. In the scriptures, we're commanded to love him, aren't we? Let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and 5. But you see, the scripture tells us to love God. But God wants us to love him not because we feel like we have to. You know, Jesus did all of this, and I ought to love him. But he wants it to flow out of our heart naturally, a gratefulness, a love for him because of what he's done for us. Somebody get that, Deuteronomy 6 and 5.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
See? Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. That takes in all of us. It takes whatever I do every day. When I wake up, What I plan to do for that day is because of God. He's got to be first and foremost in my life. And what I do should be catered and motivated by my love for him. You know, most of us know that when a man loves a woman, He puts everything into it. He buys up flowers. He makes calls. He maybe give her. It's no chore to give her something for Christmas and give her something for Valentine's Day and for her birthday and anniversary when they're married. You see, because of his love for her, it's an opportunity to show your love. Now, it's kind of something wrong with a situation where, I forgot your birthday. I did that once with one of my daughters, and I'll never do it again. Or I forgot, today is Valentine's Day? I'm sorry. I didn't get anything. That's something wrong with that picture, isn't it? Because if you really love somebody, you're not going to be forgetting the birthday, the anniversary. And if you do forget it, oh my goodness, you got to make it up. It's double time now. So that's the way it is. Well, we want to have this kind of love for God. We want to do it with all our heart, with all of everything in it, all of my energy. You know, I thank the Lord that he gives me strength. And it really is a bad day if I don't feel like I got strength. I don't like to feel that way. If I feel like I can't get out of the bed or something, that's a bad day. I don't want that because I want to get up and be moving and be active and do something for God. Sometimes on my rest days, I might be sitting in the bed, but not. I'm studying his word, praying, or listening to a message, right? This is how you show God you love him. Take your time out for him. Before I go to bed, almost every night, it's got to be a serious night. I turn on a message, listen to a message or a song or something. When I wake up, I try to read a scripture first thing and pray. This is how we love God. We're putting our energies into God and the things of God. Our devotion goes up to him. Thank you, Lord. You let me see your beautiful day today. Thank you, Lord. I can move. I can get up. I remember when I was in Miami, there was a brother Walker, and he had that same. I thank the Lord that I was able to get out of the bed, put my feet on the floor, and take care of my personal needs and stuff. That's what we should have. That's how we show our devotion to God. Let's don't put something else first. Let's put God first and have our devotion go up to him. So when we are loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, I think of energy. I'm putting some energy into the things of God. You tell me it's time to go to church. Am I going to lay around and say I'm not going? Tell me, girls, do I do that?
No,
it's something wrong with me if that happens to me. I want, as long as the doors are open, I'm going. If I can get there. So that's how you love God with all your heart. And Matthew 22 and 37 says pretty much the same thing. 22 and 37. Verse 37.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
Thy heart, thy soul, and what else?
Thy mind.
And thy mind. We even have our mind stayed on the Lord. We love him so much. We're our heart, our soul. Our heart is the seat of our affection. You know, I don't think I would want to have somebody whose heart is somewhere else and they say they love me, but their heart is somewhere else. That's not really love. And the same way with the Lord. He doesn't want us to say with our mouth. Remember that first scripture? Not in word, but in deed and in truth. Say with our mouth, I love the Lord, and our heart is somewhere else. But we have to have our heart focused on God, our mind focused on God, our soul focused on God, and love him with all our might, all our energy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11 and 13.
Deuteronomy 11 and 13. Mm-hmm. And it shall come to pass, if you shall
hearken
diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Hearken unto the Lord wants us to serve him with all our heart and with all our soul. I'm going to sing a little chorus, but you all have to excuse my voice because it's not good. But it says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And see, we can sing to the Lord. When we're singing, a lot of time we're singing in service and we each hear each other sing. But our devotion needs to go to the Lord. I'm singing this song because I love you, Lord. And it says, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. If we're singing unto the Lord, we're showing that we're loving him. Some people, I was at a wedding, and I believe the bride and the groom have either made a song or decided to sing to each other. And that's so sweet to me. Because in your singing, you're showing how much you care about that person. And the same thing with the songs. The scripture says, singing to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody unto the Lord. So we're singing unto the Lord. When we sing with all our might. I try to get after a certain person, they sing so low, they barely seem like they sing. But when you are devoted to God, you're going to sing out. Sing out. We're too quiet. The saints need to be more exuberant. We need to use our energy for God, not just barely singing the song, dragging the song, can't hardly sing. Now, if you got a problem with your voice, like I think the Lord looks down in mercy because he's looking at my heart, that I'm singing from my heart, even though my voice sounds terrible. But at any rate, we want to show our love to God. I think about David in the scriptures. He had scriptures that showed his devotion and love to God. Let's go to Psalms 18 and 1. I'm going to call out a few scriptures so that we can save time. Psalms 116 and 1. And someone else gets Psalms 119. And there are two verses in that. One is 159 and one is 97.
I will love thee, O Lord, my strength.
I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You see how David was talking to the Lord? God is our strength. And we can tell him. I like to tell the Lord I love you. When I'm praying, sometimes I say, Lord, I love you. Sometimes when the enemy want to come against me, I say, Lord, I love you. And I feel his reciprocating that he loves me. John 16:1.
I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication.
He's so good to us. He hears us when we pray. And because of that, we should show him. Tell him. Just tell him we love him. Psalms 119:159.
119:159. Mm-hmm. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness.
Okay, if we love the Lord, we're also going to love his laws and his precepts. When we say we love God, we're going to love him enough to obey him. We're going to love his word. I think it's 119:97. If not, it's 118. I'm not sure.
119:97. Oh, how I love thy law.
That's it. Yeah.
It is my meditation all the day.
Yes. When you get up in the morning, you love God so much. You read his word. You meditate on his word. You walk through, as you walk through doing your chores, your mind is going on God's law and his commandments. And so when we give our heart to God, when we accept his great love, when we get saved, that's how we accept his love. That's the beginning. Then he gives us a portion of his divine love. He loved us, sent his son to die for us, that we could be saved. And when we repent and give our heart to God, then God gives us a portion of his divine love. His divine love goes beyond human love. Human love just can go so far, but divine love can go far. It's eternal. And wherever there is a need for love, it'll be there. It will not be short. And so then he gives us his divine love. And as we walk with him and we give our lives over to him in sanctification, that divine love is shed abroad in our heart. If you remember Romans 5:8, we read how it says, the love of God which is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And once we have that divine love shed abroad in our heart, it gives us power and strength to love others as we ought to love them. Human love goes so far. If people do me good, I love them, but if they don't, then I don't. That's human love. But divine love goes farther, where human love can't go any farther. Sometimes in a marriage situation, people have difficulties and it's hard to stay with that person, maybe. But if you have the divine love of God, it helps you to tolerate good things better. So here we want to have love, God's love to us, our love to God, and then our love to other people. Let's go to 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I realize I have read some of those scriptures, but this time I wanted us to have them all together. So if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And God gives us this love by the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, we get some of it, but when we get sanctified, our love is to a greater degree. Let's go to St. John 15, verse 12. Somebody get that to 17. Verse 12 and read to 17.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another.
Notice he said it more than once. He's trying to drive it home. We are to love one another. God loved us, we love God, and then we love others. So we want to be encouraged to partake of God's great love. It's there for us. If we don't, we're really living beneath our privilege, because the great love of God is so wonderful. It's just like, it's sad sometimes when you have a child and you do everything, like you buy them clothes, you give them food, you have provide a nice home for them, and they turn their back on you and they don't appreciate what you did. Kind of like the prodigal son. He had everything. He didn't have need of anything, but he told his father to give me the portion of goods that belonged to me. And he went out and he spent all he had and became in want. But then when he became in want, he looked back. He realized, my father has bread enough to spare and I'm perishing with hunger. And the same way it is to people today. They're perishing when they could have all they need in God because of his great love. And so we want to reach out to others, even our enemies. We can show this great love of God even to our enemies. Let's go to Luke 27, to 32.
Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other, and him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take the coat away also, and give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask not again.
So you could stop there. You see that God puts this love in us, and he teaches us to love even our enemies, even people that are not nice to us. So we want to do all, and once we get this love in us, we can do this. Human beings can't do it on their own. It takes the great divine love of God for us to do that. And then I saw in the Old Testament an example of this. And it was in 2 Kings. We're just going to read a few scriptures here to just see how this actually played out. This was Elijah. And there was I forget the name of the people, but there was a king that kept trying to fight against Israel. And every time he would fight against them, somehow the Israel king would know where not to be to keep from getting harmed by him. And so he thought, well, somebody in my camp is telling the king what I'm doing. And the man said, no. When his man said no, he said, there's the prophet, Elijah, I don't remember which, knows what you say in your bedchamber. Why? Because God was telling the prophet, you tell the king, don't go there. And he wouldn't go there, and he wouldn't get harmed. So then he decided, well, we're going to take care of Elijah. Chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15. So he decided he would surround him and he was going to take him, destroy him, get rid of him.
Therefore set ye hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And when his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Okay, so what happened was Elisha's servant, when he saw all this king had sent all these
chariots and horses
around them to get him, he was afraid and said, what shall we do? But then he told the Lord to open the young man's eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he could see that God was protecting them. Okay, so anyway, as the story played out, Elisha told the Lord to smite the people with blindness. And they smote them with blindness, and they came, and they thought they didn't know where they were. And he told them, he said, had them to come with him. So he came, and he brought all of these people that were wanting to destroy Elisha. They wanted to destroy the king of Israel. And he brought them to the king of Israel, and he said, Lord, open their eyes. When they opened their eyes, they stand in front of the king of Israel that they wanted to destroy. And the king of Israel asked Elisha, well, should I smite him? And he said, no. And I want you to read verse 20 and see what happened.
And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou have taken captive with the sword and with the bow, and set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go their way, go to their master.
Read on.
And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel.
What did they do? They gave food, they fed their enemies. And God worked it so that they didn't bother them no more. So I'm saying that it takes the love of God to be able to feed your enemy. That's what Jesus said, love your enemies. And in one scripture, I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and we'll be done. Proverbs 25. I want somebody to get that. 21 to 22, and someone else get Romans 12 and 20.
Proverbs 25.
Mm-hmm. And 21.
Proverbs 25 and 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink.
You see what it says to do? That's how you love your enemy. If he's hungry, you're going to feed him. And if he's thirsty, you're going to give him drink. Romans 12 and 20.
Romans 12 and 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Read the next verse.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
So, when we want to think about the love of God, we know that love comes from God, for God is love. God showed us love, and then we are to reciprocate that love back to him. And when we accept his plan of salvation, he will give us his divine love, which will go to others. And from there, we will be able to love others no matter what they do, what they say or how they treat us. We can love them, and we can even love our enemies. Pray for me.